All right, tonight's The Office, sponsored by Vern Resmovitz and Marvin Resmovitz, in memory of Marvin's mother, Chaya Bar Avraham Aryeh, Zechron LeBracha. All right, so learning is Leilu Neshama of Chaya Bar Avraham Aryeh, Zechron LeBracha. All right, so we're on Daf Yud tonight. Let me just go over from yesterday a little bit, and then we'll go forward. So in yesterday's Daf, there was machlok between the Tana Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. This is on the on Tenement Bays around the 15th wide line. The Rice says, Tanya Reb Lezer Omer, Kol HaOlam Kulo Mimei Okeanos Ushote. According to Tanya Reb Lezer, all the water of the world comes from the waters of the ocean. In other words, presumably like it vaporizes and turns into the clouds. Shinemar Ve'idilim in Ha'aretz, Shishkal Kol Bnei Adama. And then Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua Velo Mimei Okeanos Meluchim Hein. Yeshua says, but the ocean water is salty water, and the water that comes down is not salty water. So Amar Lo, and here he corrects inside, Matkin Ba'avim, they get sweetened in the clouds, and we'll see more about this. That's the sheet of the Tana Reb Lezer. Then Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Kulam Kulam Mayim Hal Yonim Hushote. According to Tana Reb Yeshua, the whole world is supplied with water from the Mayim Hal Yonim. It says in the Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he divided the water, the lower waters and the upper waters. The upper waters are above the Rakia. And Shinemar Tar Hashemayim Tishtamayim. All right, so that's the Machloket. All right, now let's go two lines from the bottom on Tenement Days. So, Kamana Azla Hadamar Reb Chanina. So the Gemara says, according to whom does the following statement Reb Chanina go? As between Reb Lezer and Yeshua, Kones Kaneid Mehayam. He like piles up heaps of the ocean water. Notain ba'otzaro tohomot. He puts in his silos or storehouses the tohomot, the depths. So this is still part of the same Reb Chanina. Mi garam la'otzaro tshit malubar. What caused the otzaro, like the silos, to be filled with grain? Tohomot. In other words, the depths. In other words, that's how really he understands the pasuk. There was koneis kanei me'ayam. He gathers up the me'ayam into a high mound. Notain ba otzarot tahomot, gives the otzarot tahomot. So Reb Chanina says, what's causing otzarot to be filled with bar, with grain? That's the tahomot. So the Gemara says, that's Kirib, and then the Bach ends here on the war, on the words, Kiman, Kirib Lezer. So that statement, Reb Chanina, seems to be in accordance with the Tana of Reb Lezer, because Reb Lezer holds that the ocean waters are the waters that supply all the rain waters, and that's what it's saying. So Rabbi Yeshua would say, Hahu, on the top line of Yudam Aleph, 10a, the top line, Rabbi Yeshua, Hahu, Bibriyato Shalom. So Rabbi Yeshua would say that Pasuk is talking about the creation of the world. When Hashem created the world, the Tinba Otsro Tomo, it's not like, you're right, it's not like the way Rabbi Chanina is explaining it, Rabbi Yeshua's Atana, he says, the Tinba Otsro Tomo means that Hashem, when he created the world, he divided up the waters. In other words, Rashi brings down on the top line of Rashi, Kiv she'akulam shetupamayim, the whole world was like filled with water. V'kadosh Baruch Hu kontzan makom echad, he gathers the water up in one place. V'achnis mayim benod, like putting water in a node is like a container. Shetam ba'otro, dechtiv notem ba'otzitamot, samchol gulo ba'otro layam. In other words, so the way that Rabbi Yeshua understands this pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem gathers the water and he, you know, puts like boundaries to the water, like the sand at the seashore. And that's what the pasuk is talking about. Okay? All right, let's go further. Now, the Gemara goes on a slight tangent here. The top line in Yudam and Aleph, and then I'll pause in a few minutes. Tana Rabbanan, Eretz Yisrael Nivrei Tchila, V'Kol Amkulu Nivra L'Basof, that Eretz Yisrael was the first land to be created. And again, here you have to say, it's a lot of like hashkafa, like outlook. How do we view Eretz Yisrael? So I was listening to Rabbi Simon Wolf today. He was saying, he was connected this Gemara to Gemara in Masechet, I think in Yoma, Daf Bin Daled, where it says that the Eben Shtia, according to one opinion, that's where the world was created, from the Eben Shtia, which is the foundation stone, the base of Mikdash. So here's saying, Eretz Yisrael in the Great Tchila, Eretz Yisrael was created first, for Kulam Kulon Nivra L'Basof. All the other places were created later on. Shneemar, Ad Lo Asa Aretz, B'chutzot, B'chutzot. In other words, till he made the Eretz, that's Eretz Yisrael, and then the Chutzot are the other lands. So he's creating Eretz Yisrael first, and then the other lands. Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu personally takes care of giving it rain. All the other lands through a shaliach, which would be like a malach. He says, Shenemar, when obtain matar al pnei Eretz, shaliach mayim al pnei chutzot. Means he's noting, he gives the rain al pnei Eretz. Eretz is a code word for Eretz Yisrael. He says, v'sholeach mayim, shaliach, he does it through shlichus, like through an intermediary, mayim al pnei chutzot. And then just a little bit more, Eretz Yisrael shotem megishamim, Eretz Yisrael takes in rainwater. B'chola olam kulo mitamsit. Every the rest of the world gets leftover rain. And he says, "Shenemar anotein matar al pnei eretz." The one who gives water, the same pasuk al pnei eretz, and then b'shaleich mayim al pnei chutzot. One is matar. Matar is Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the world is mayim. So Eretz Yisrael gets the choicest rain. Everybody gets the leftovers. Eretz Yisrael shotet pila b'cholam kulo basof. Eretz Yisrael, you know, drinks or gets the water first, and all the rest of the world at the end. Shnemar tein matar al pnei eretz, and again, v'shaleich mayim al pnei chutzot. Mashal yadam shemagvel ragvina. It's like a person who's curdling cheese. He says, "Dotel et ochel." He takes the ochel and miniach et psolit. The psolit is the whey, which is like the watery milk. He says, so in the same way, Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gives Kadosh Baruch was the one who's taking the gavina, and he gives it to Eretz Yisrael, and the rest he leaves to the rest of the world. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, I'm moving on. What? It's a pasuk in Iyo. What? Say again. What? Yeah, matar al pnei eretz. It's in Iyo, the Book of Job. It's on line 5. It's Eichet Seichen for you. Okay? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now we're going back to the machloket between Reb Lezer and Reb Yoshua. And you just came in Shaishud. So just repeat. So Reb Lezer holds that, like, all the water that comes down is Mimei Okeanos from the ocean water. Presumably it turns into vapor and then it comes back down. And Reb Yoshua says the water is like from Mayim El Yonin, like Hashem divided, like the Mayim, Beta Mayim Asher, the Ala Rakiyam, and the Mayim Asher, Mitacha the Rakiyam. He divided the waters, the upper waters. So let's take a look. So one question that Rabbi Yeshua posed to Rabbi Lezer is, but the water is not salty, and the ocean water is salty. So how could it be that it's coming from the ocean water? That's so he says. So Amamar, so we had the statement before that Rabbi Lezer said, and here we corrected on the previous staff, Mit Matkin, they become sweetened. Mit Matkin, they become sweetened in the clouds. So the Gemara says, Menali, where does he know that from? The Amr Bishchap or Yosef, Amr Yochanan, Ktiv, Cheshchat Mayim, Abeshchakim, which means, now these are two psukim. There's a shira that David Melech sings, like to celebrate his victory over his enemies. And it's virtually the same parak that appears in Tehillim Yudchet and in Shmuel Bechapes. And it's almost identical. There's some minor variations. So one of the variations, and Rabbi Simon Wolf pointed this out, is like Migdol and Magdil. You know, one it says Migdol Yishuv Malko, this is Magdil Yishuv Malko. And then now the Gemara here points out another difference. One pasuk says Cheshchat Mayim Abeshchakim, like the darkness of water is in like the clouds, Shchakim the heavens, and Abe is the clouds. Abeshchakim, he says Uchtiv. So the article said it was like the sieve of the water, or the other way, you could say like the gathering of the water. I think the Rabbi Simon Wolf said like the heavy water, Abishchakim. But either way, one pasuk says cheshchat, one says cheshrat. So the Gemara darshens out, or Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yitzchak or Yosef says that Rabbi Yochanan, Shchol Chaf and Shari Yareish. In other words, he's going to take the two words and combine them together. Ayi Chashrat and Cheshchat. And one's got a Shin Reish, one's got a Shin Chaf. The Kari Bey, Chachsharat. And then we're going to put it together, Chachsharat. So the way it seems like from Rashi, the way the article explained it, the Chet and the Hay can interpose. So it would be like Hachshar. In other words, that means the waters get, in other words, we're saying, how do you know the waters get, you know,
I don't know, like desalinated. In other words, like obviously the water vapor goes up in the clouds, but it means hechsher mayim. In other words, the water gets, you know, appropriately prepared. Rabbi Yeshua, b'hani kray mayi darishu. So what does the Tanna Rabbi Yeshua do with those psukim? Since he doesn't say that the water comes from the Okeanos, he says that it's the mayim ha'al yonin. So savra lo the chi'atar of dini. Amar. So he holds like the way, even though Rabbi Shu is a Tana, Rabbi Dimi is an Amara, but he holds the way Rabbi Dimi subsequently explained the Pasuk. Amri B'ma Rabba, they say in the Ma'arab in Eretz Yisrael, Nuhor Anane is the Iren Mohi. If it's like light cloud, like in other words, the cloud is not dark, it's a light cloud, the Iren Mohi, there's very little water. Chashoch Anane, Sagin Mohi. If it's a dark cloud, you get a lot of water. So the way Rashi takes it is the whole raya is from the first pasuk, Cheshet Mayim Aveish Chakim, that the dark water, you know, the clouds, you have presumably a lot of rain coming down. And then conversely, when it's not dark, you don't have a lot of rain. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. But Rabbi Samuel Wolf was quoting from the Marashoah, and the Marashoah says that both pasukim are lined up because he wants to say that Cheshet Mayim, he understands like a sieve, like a kvara. And it's like, so when you have dark clouds, then you have a lot of water. And then, I don't know, like the Kashrat Mayim, when it's like the sieve, you have very little water. All right. Kaman Azlahad Tanya, according to whom does the following Bryce go? It says, Mayim Halyonim, the Ma'amar Hengsluyim. The Mayim Halyonim, the upper waters, they're held, they're suspended through the Ma'amar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their peirot are the rainwater. In other words, like you have the tree and the pre, so the pre doesn't take away from the tree. So in other words, the water stays, but the peirot are the megashamim. Shneimar miprima secha, and that's the way Rabbi Simon Wolf was explaining it. Shneimar miprima secha tispa haaretz. It says miprima secha, from like the fruits of your actions. Tispa ha'aretz, like the land will be satiated. So kiman to Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says that goes like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is the one who said that the water comes from the Mayim El Yonim. And here we have the Brisa. And Brisa says there are these Mayim El Yonim that are till the way and the Peirot come down. Reb Lezer, how will Reb Lezer interpret, you know, that pasuk? Who, it's just saying that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created water. And from the water, the land will be satiated. That's what it's talking about. All right, two more lines and we'll pause. Abishub and Levi, Kulomi Tamsit Gan Eden Hu Shote. Abishub and Levi says that the whole world gets like, and Tamsit is like that which drains off. Remember, like we had by the blood, like Mitzitza by a bris milah is what you're sucking out. And then we have like the Dama Tamsit, the draining blood. If you remember, we had Sugi's about that. Anyway, so he says, it's getting water from like the leftover from Gan Eden. Shinemar Benahar Yotsemi Aden Lashodagana. Oh, a river comes out from Aden. Tana me tamsit bekur shote tarkav. That from the leftover of a keli, that's enough to water a field that's the size of a bekur. A bekur is enough for 30 saw. So if the piece of land, that's a standard size, a bekur. So if the land is large enough to seed 30 saw of grain, so then the water, there was a pail that used to water a bekur. It's a container that has enough water to water a bekur. So shote tarkav. So the leftover, from watering the bekur, that you'd have leftover in the pot or whatever, a tarkav, three tarkav is half a saw. So in other words, if the keli is enough to water a 30 saw piece of property, what's left over is 1/60. In other words, so that's the idea. So whatever's left over is 1/60. So we said, Rishon Levi says, kulam kulam mitamsin ganeinu rishotah, the whole world is able to get like leftover from Gan Eden. It means the whole world is like 1/60 of Gan Eden, which we'll see shortly. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Fern?
Can you go? Thank you. Can you go over the Evan Shatia again? I never get that.
That was a different Gemara. That was the Gemara Maseches Yoma. that the Gemara had.
Yeah,
the Gemara had a Masechet Yoma that the world was created from the Eben Shtiyah means the foundation stone, which is in the Beis Hamikdash, and so
right.
so according to one opinion of the Gemara, the world was created from the Eben Shtiyah. It means like the world was created from. In other words, like we're just saying, like this Rabbi Stein Wolf was connecting. Here they're saying Eretz Yisrael was created first, right? Didn't we say that here? We said that the top line, Eretz Yisrael and the Great Tefillah, before and
before
the Tov. So he's saying that connects with the Gemara in Maseches Yoma that says that the world was created from the Eben Shtiyah.
So it's all consistent with that.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
Right? Okay, I'm going to go on. Okay, now let me. What's up, Aaron Moshe? You good?
No, we're going to say when we bench Geshem, we say we're Chashas Mayim. We say Chashas Mayim. Alasel Lahoch.
Right.
I'm saying that's Chashas Mayim.
That's what we had Chashas Mayim, right? Line 4 was Chashas Mayim, no?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, everybody mute themselves. So Tana Rabbanan, Eretz Yisrael Havi Arba Mil Parsa, Arba Mil Parsa, that Egypt is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. There's another Gemara in which he mentioned this, Rabbi Sam Wolf in Pesachim, where he says Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. And I think there's also another Gemara elsewhere. It says, remember at the end, I think of Baba Kama with the pig that they were lowering down the walls in Yerushalayim, time of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, and the pig put his paw into the wall. And it was in Zazeya, Eretz Yisrael, I think in an area 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Who echad nishisha mekush? It's 1/60th of Egypt, of Ethiopia. The kush echad nishisha ba'olam, and Ethiopia is 1/60th of the world. Ba'olam echad nishisha megan. The world is 1/60th of the gan from the Gan Eden. The gan echad nishisha le'eden. The Eden echad nishisha le'gehenim. Eden is 1/60th of Gehenim. Anyway, the main point is. Gehenim is humongous. And then Aden is 1/60th, and there's 1/60th of the things in there. Nimsa kolam kulo, kikisu kder the Gehenim. The whole world is like cover on Gehenim. In other words, cover is obviously smaller than the larger volume of like a pot or something like that to Gehenim. The Yeshom Rim, Gehenim ain't Lashir. Some say Gehenim has no Shir. The Yeshom Rim, Aden ain't Lashir. That Aden has no Shir. So I guess you could say it's like, you know, how you view the world. Is it like this Rabbi Simon was saying, like if Gehenim is larger, that means like a lot of Rishayim in the world is going to look at. But if you say Aden ain't Lashir, so I don't know. I don't know if it means the number of people or I mean, here he's talking about like a location, but does that reflect the fact that means that maybe there are more righteous people? I don't know. So Amr Boshia, Ma'atativ Shochan and Amayim Rabim, Rabbaru Tzarot. What does the Pasuk mean that which dwells on great waters, Rabat Utsarot? There's a lot of like storehouses. Migaram the Babel, Shu Oshutel Maleor Bar. What was Babel? Babel is Babylonia. It's a low-lying land that its storehouses are filled with grain. Haviomer Mesha Shokhanat Amayim Rabim, because in other words, it's like it has lots of water there. So that's why then they have a good crop. Amarav, Atira Babel, the Chatz the Below Mitra. Rav says, Atir Babel is wealthy, the Chatz the Below Mitra, can harvest without rain. In other words, it's got all this natural water there. Amar Abayi Nikatinan, Abayi says that, like Bar Masorah is, Tovani Below Yavshani, that it's blessed because it's Tovani, it's like marshland, and it's not dried out. And that's what they have. Okay, I think that's it with that piece. I'm going to move on unless anybody has any questions, comments, or thoughts. All right, let's move on to the next mission. Okay, so Matnitin, Rishosha Marches and Sholin and Laksham. So according to the Tanakhama, on the 3rd of Marcheshvan, we begin to say Tantin Talamator. Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'Shivago. Rabbi Gamliel says on the 7th of Marcheshvan, we begin to ask for Talamator. Chamishasri Yom Acharachag, 15 days after the end of Sukkot, Kadeshiki Achron should be still in the Har Pras. So the last one of the people who made Aliyah L'Regel will get to Nahar Prad. Remember, the people who are making Aliyah L'Regel are typically people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Like by Shlomo HaMelech, so he wrote the book Abraham Nahar. He ruled over a large area until Nahar Prad. So the last one gets to Nahar Prad. And then the article mentioned also that if it would rain, like the rivers would be hard to pass. So the prat would be like, harder to cross. So but that's the way that's going. All right, let's just see the Gemara and then we'll summarize and we'll talk. Okay, so the Gemara says, so it really means that according to Rabbi Gamliel, the Zman HaGeshamim is right after Sukkot. But we hold off for 2 weeks so to give time for people to get on their way and get home. So Gemara, Amar Rav Lazar, Halacha for Rabbi Gamliel. So Rav Lazar says that Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Hanani Omer, Uvugola, Shishim Kufa. So Hanani says Uvugola means in the exile, but it means in Bavel. He says, Ad Shishim Kufa. We don't ask for Geshem until 60 days following Tkufa Tishrei. So let's just review again, and then we'll talk more in a little bit. So there are four Tkufot. You know, we have the solstices and the equinoxes, right? We all know that. So yeah, there's four times during the year. So the four Tkufot correspond to those four different times. So Tkufa Tishrei is when you have, the autumnal equinox. So Tkufa Tishrei is about September 22nd. In 60 days after September 22nd is when you say Talamatar. That would be November 22nd. So, but it doesn't work out with our Luach, and I'll talk more about it shortly, but it comes out basically that we're using the Julian calendar. And there was a Julian calendar is that the year is 365 and a quarter days. So the calendar was adjusted in the 16th century by Pope Gregory, and he added like 10 days to the calendar, and then he said that like we're not going to leap every fourth year. If you have century years, you won't do a leap year in centuries years unless they're divisible by 400. So the year 2000 was divisible by 400, so we had a leap year that year, but the year 2100 won't be a leap year anyway. Suffice it to say that we're off kilter from the Julian calendar, and that's the way the Gemara learns at 365 and a quarter days. So we're not yet to other countries. All we know is Babel so far, but it means that in this century, right now, until 2100, so the day would be December 5th or 6th, but you begin the day before. So the night of Mariv of December 4th or 5th. So if it's a non-leap year that's coming up, so it's the night of December 4th. If the coming year is a leap year, that means we're going to add a date of February, then it'll be the night of December 5th, okay? So that's the way we work it out. Okay, let me just get through the Gemara and then I'll talk a little bit and then we'll open up the floor, okay? So, Amar Rav Huna Barchi, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Chananya. So Rav Huna Barchi says, Nimesh Shmuel, the Halacha follows Chananya, that he says that you have 60 days to petitionary. Hini, above my name is Shmuel, but is that true? But they ask Shmuel, my Ema, about Kareen and Tain Talamatar. When do we say Tain Talamatar? Amar Lahum, when they bring the wood in, apparently they would cut the wood during the summer, just like we learned in the, we didn't have it yet in this Gemara, it's coming at the end of Tanis. The Gemara is going to say that they would cut the wood for the Beis HaMikdash. We've had it before, though. They would cut the wood during the summer, and then they stopped cutting the wood. So at a certain point in time, they would bring the wood into the storehouse. So apparently the one who was expert on this was this hunter, who was his Tabut Rishba, the Tabut, the hunter, the bird hunter. So when they would bring the wood into his storehouse, that means now it's the winter time. In other words, I want the wood to be dry, so I don't want the wood to be wet. So I'll bring it into his storehouse. And then that's when I begin saying Tain Talmatar. So I don't know if that's before or after, 60 days, but the Gemara says it was not the same day. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the same day. So Yom Shishim Kilfnei Shishim. So say the 60th day following Tkufat Tishrei, is that where you don't say Talamantar yet? Oh, Kila Achar Shishim, when you do say Talamantar. So Tashma, Rav Amar, Yom Shishim Kila Achar Shishim. Rav says, yeah, when you get to day 60, that's when you say Talamantar. Shmuel Amar Yom Shishim Kilfnei Shishim. Shmuel says, no, we hold off to the end of the 60th day. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Siman Ach. So Nachman Yitzchak says the Siman to remember is seen Rav and Shmuel, who says what? His Ilai Baumaya, the people who live in the heights require water. So Rav is Meretz Yisrael. The Gemara takes it that as a Babel is the depths. So Eretz Yisrael, they take it as the heights. I guess it depends where in Eretz Yisrael you are. But compared to Babel, it's always the heights. But presumably he lives in a higher place than Eretz Yisrael. Ilai Baumaya. So therefore, Rav says, you ask for it on the 60th day. not that in Australia would ask for it, but that's the siman to remember it. Although Rashi seems to connect to Tatai Lubao Maya, the people who live low, they don't require so much water. And that's like Shmuel, and they would say that's poor. His opinion is that you begin, day 61. Amar Rapapa, he'll tell you Shishim Kla'afar Shishim. So Rapapa says, the luck follows Rav. Day 60th is like the day following the 60 days. Okay, let me just say a few things, then we'll pause, okay? So, I get some of my sheets out. All right. So one thing is, now we said that in the Mishnah, we said, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the halacha of Rabbi Gamliel, this is we begin asking from Zion Mar Cheshvan, and that's so the people have time to get back. So he says, although rain is needed, there shall be leave after Sukkot, Rabbi Gamliel postpones until the Ole Regalim I can return home. The Ritva writes, the Gaonim and Eretz Israel and the post-base of Mikdash are ruled, recitation telematrish begin the day after Sukkot, so they're no longer only regalim, no need to postpone the rainy season. So the question is, within the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel, so we understand when there's a base of Mikdash, I have to wait till only regalim get home. But now there's no base of Mikdash. So what would Rabbi Gamliel say now? When Rabbi Gamliel is living during the time of the base of Mikdash, but now we don't have the base of Mikdash. So the Ritva says, in the name of Gaonim and Eretz Israel, that they would say Teinu Matar right after Sukkot. Right. So the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch have a rule that even today, we do not ask for rain in Eretz Israel until 2 weeks after Sukkot. The Ran explains the original date was not changed because even today, some people travel to Yerushalayim for Yantiv, as in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So even the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so people still make Aliyah L'Regel. Interestingly, the Tashbeit, he says, circa 1361 to 1444, relates that in his day, many people would travel to Yerushalayim for Yantiv, reminiscent of the Oli Regel in times of the Beis Mikdash. He further relates that these pilgrims would experience the miracle mentioned in Pirkei Avot, the Lamar Dhamma Kabiru with Sarlim on Yerushalayim. They would have said, I don't have a place to spend in Yerushalayim. And he cites this phenomenon as proof that Kedusha for Yerushalayim and the Beis Mikdash are still present today. Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel to the Bo. Now, okay, that's with Rabbi Gamliel. Now, Hanania says that in Chutz La'aretz, i.e. Babel, where rain is not required till later in the season, we do not begin asking rain till 6 days after Tkufa Tishrei. So he goes through the whole thing. He says Tkufa Tishrei does not occur on the same day as the start of the full season of the civil calendar, i.e. the Gregorian calendar. The civil calendar fall begins September 22nd. He says, whereas Tkufa Tishrei starts on October 7th or 8th. It means if you adjust the calendars, so the date, and there was a date in the Julian calendar that would be equivalent to September 22nd, will come out to be October 7th or 8th. Recitation seems to matter 6 days after that. We got it. And he goes through with the whole thing, with the years. We did this whole thing. We did this. Okay, I think we got. Okay, now, let me just do one more piece with this, and then we'll talk. This we have with the key code. All right, let me talk. Now, there's a piece that I mentioned earlier, which I think he's going to mention. Yeah, he's going to mention this in tomorrow's daf with the other daf. But in the time of the rush, the question is, what if you're not in Eretz Israel, you're not in Babel? So from the Gemara, it seems clear, Eretz Israel is Zion Mar Cheshvan. That we got. Although the Zman Chloket, what would be the Zman today? Is it right after Sukkot or is it Zion Adar? Zion Mar Cheshvan, we think it's Zion Mar Cheshvan. And then in Babel, we know, it's 60 days after Tkufa Tishrei. What about all the other lands on the face of the earth? What's the date for them? So the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot, with me, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot says he thinks that each land should ask according to its own needs. And then the Rush writes that he traveled in Europe and he traveled, I think, to Provence, he saw that there they were asking for it on Zion Mar Cheshvan, and he thought that that's a great idea. He said, let me get this open here. This is from Moedim HaHalacha. One second. Yeah. All right, one second. He says, he quotes here the Sefer Amanig, which is from the 12th and 13th century. He says, the Pinriki Minahad Narbonos Bivotel. In Narbonne, which is like in France, I saw them asking on Zion Mar Cheshvan. And the Meiri, the Masechet Tanis, which is our Masechta, He says, he lives in the Provence, which is, you know, the area in southern France. He says, that's the minhag what we do here in Weimar Fetchman. And he says, then he quotes from the Seder of Amram HaShalem. I assume it means there's a Seder from Rabbi Amram Gaon. So he says over there, the Cholak promotes cooking in my dark water, so Frakia, Palamaka, Bishop Mar Fetchman. He says that everywhere where they have rain, like in Eretz Israel and Frankie, so like France, this Talmakar on the 7th of Mar Fetchman. And he says, that's the minhag in Africa as well. And then the Shastru, the Rush says, when he left Ashkenaz, he went there for Binsa. There was the Rush fled Germany and he went to Spain. I don't have a lot of time. Anyway, so he traveled to Provence, here than Montfisler. I don't know what he means. They were meant signed by Cheshire. Anyway, now there was an incident where they had a drought and he was in Spain, and so the Rush felt that they should ask for rain from Zion Mar Cheshvan till Shavuot. And he wrote a tshuva on Chol HaMoed Pesach, because there was like a whole tumult. He told people to continue saying Talamatar on Pesach, and there was a whole tumult. So he wrote up the tshuva on Chol HaMoed Pesach, even though normally he wouldn't do that because he felt that under the circumstances it was required. And but halacha l'maaseh, we take it that if you're an Eretz Yisrael, you do Zayin Mar Cheshvan. Everybody else does, you know, December 4th or 5th. Now, that includes also, you have Shai with us, so they have areas in the southern hemisphere, which is really more pronounced. There, let's say you're in Australia. So if I'm doing it on December 4th or 5th, we're going into the rainy season. They're going into the summer season. So everything is like flipped over. So maybe they should flip everything over, but they don't. They say like us. The only thing is that if you're Mesupa, you can add it in Shema Koleno. That's the safe way to do it. So the way to handle it would be to say Tain Talamatar, the way the world does it, but then in Shema Koleno, or not say it, and then in Shema Koleno, adjust accordingly to where you're at. Okay, I got to run now. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts? All right, we'll talk more tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we'll talk about what have you going back and forth from Israel. All right, let me run. Any questions? Quickly. All right, I'm going. All right, let's go to the next question now. Okay, we're 8 lines from the bottom. So, Manitin, if the 17th Mar Cheshvan came and there's no rain, Yechidim began fasting 3 fasts. The Gemara is going to explain Yechidim are like the Talmid HaChachamim. He says, they would eat and drink from the night before. So, in other words, the only thing they're avoiding is eating and drinking on that day, and they're eating and drinking the night before, and the other inuyim they're also doing. Now, Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrives, and there's no rain. Beitin goes to Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So now the general is there, everybody to fail. So same thing, you can eat the night before and they're not going to observe the other inuyim, but they're going to have 3 fast days. It means on a Monday, Thursday, Monday. So the Gemara says, man yechidim, who are the yechidim? The yechidim means individual. Who are the yechidim? Am Rav Huna Rabbanan. Rav Huna says it means the chachamim, that the rabbis are going to fast first. He says, v'am Rav Huna yechidim etanim shloshetani yaw sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Rav Huna says the yechidim would fast 3 fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday. And those are times of Rachman. Those are the days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and came down to Har Sinai on a Monday and a Thursday. He says, Mike, Mashmalan, Tinina. So what is Rav Huna teaching me? I know this from the Mishnah on Daf Tefav, 5 days from now. And goes in Tanel Tzibur to Chidu B'chamishi. We never make Zeran Tzibur begin fasting on a Thursday. Shalala Havkida Sharim. In other words, we're afraid if everybody is fasting on a Thursday and that's the first fast in the cycle, and as soon as the fast is over, everybody's going to run and buy like twice the amount of food. They buy a lot of food on Friday anyway for Shabbos. They're going to buy twice the amount of food. He says, and it's going to be Mafkid Sharim. The sellers are going to think, there's a famine. I see everybody running to buy food, and they're going to hike the prices. So they begin the fast on a Monday, Thursday, Monday. So the Gemara said, why do I need Rav Huna to tell me that they fast Monday, Thursday, Monday? And when the mission itself says it that way, I might have thought that next mission is talking about the whole community is fasting. Then I'm concerned I can't begin the fast on a Thursday because we must be sharing. Well, Yachid lo, but just the Yechidim, just the rabbis are fasting. Rabbis do it the same way as everybody else. So I don't know if it means that we're also afraid there'll be Mavki Sharim, or just have a general rule that follows all the way through. So Tani Nam Yahachi, Learner Bryce supports this. When Yechidim begin fasting, if Rosh Chodesh comes down on one of those days, then they'll fast on Rosh Chodesh, turn page. Now, Megillat Tanit we had before, that means there were Yamim Tovim during the time of Bayit Sheni, where people weren't allowed to fast. But if one of those days would come out, so then they would eat that day, but that's only during the time of the second base of Mikdash. That's the way at least the number of Mepharshim say. The only ones we hold from Megillat Tanit are Hanukkah and Purim, then we wouldn't fast that way. But all right, now, I don't know about making it up. It's just that they wouldn't fast. I don't know. Okay, now, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa. Al Yimar Adam Talmid Ani, Ein Ruvi Liyot Yachid. So a person shouldn't say, you know, I'm just a Talmid, I'm not a Yachid, I'm not in the category where I can fast. Ella, Kol Talmid HaChamim Yachidim, that all Talmid HaChamim, if they wish to be considered Yachidim. He says, Ezu Yachid, Ezu Talmid. So who's the Yachid who's obligated to fast? And who's the Talmid that I am learning that has the option to fast? Yachid, Kol Shul Lamanot Toparnas Al Tzibur. He's really to be appointed a leader on the Tzibur. It's not like today where you're going to have some Michal Shabbos as a leader on the Tzibur, but it means that they would have the Talmid HaChamim would be the leaders on the Tzibur. Talmid, so Talmid is, by asking a question of Bar Lacha, he knows the answer, or so one way to learn is even if he only has mastery over Masechet Kala, still he qualifies as a Talmid, and if he wants to fast, he could fast. So Tan Rabbanan, you know, does this remind you of any halacha that we've had? So on Tishbav, and it's in the Gemara, says that preferably a person shouldn't work. But b'chol adam yaseh tzmo k'tamid chacham. In other words, everybody should make himself like a tamid chacham. This halacha. In other words, you shouldn't say it's like arrogance. I'm behaving like a tamid chacham. I'm not a tamid chacham, but. For not doing work on Tishba, everybody should conduct himself that way. So here it's saying, even I'm not like a Talmid Chacham, but I'm a Talmid Chacham, like the student of the Chachamim, so I could fast. So Yachid means like the Chachamim, and the Talmid means he's not as he says. So one second. So he says it means Rabbanan. So the Yaki means the Rabbanan, the Chachamim. Okay, the Chachamim or the Yaki. The Chachamim. And you say like the right. And the Tamid Chachamim or the Tamidim of them. Okay. So the Gemara says one way is to say he only knows Masechta Kala. So Tan Rabbanan, Lokol Rosal Sodas Mo Yachid Oseh, Tamid Oseh the Remeir. So we're going to have a machloket about this. So according to this opinion, Reb Meir, not everybody wants to make himself a yachid, can conduct himself. In other words, not like the previous opinion. In other words, it's like an arrogance that I'm fasting on that fast. He says, Talmid Oseh. Or if I want to dress like a Talmid Chacham, but I'm not a Talmid Chacham, I can't do that. Reb Yossi Omer, Oseh v'zachur l'tov. Reb Yossi says, he disagrees with the first halacha of Reb Meir. If you want to comport yourself like one of the Chachamim and fast, it's fine. Zachur l'tov, he's mentioned well. Tishen Shevachulo, it's not like, he's not like taking like kavod, he's not like doing self-aggrandizement by declaring like, you know, that he's declaring himself like a Chacham. This is Elitzaru, though. In other words, he's fasting. So if you want to fast, fine. Gekuz l'tov. In other words, he's saying that he's saying, Rameir says, Lo kol adam osel atzmo yachid oseh. Not everybody wants to comport himself like a yachid could do that. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, they could. In other words, you want to comport yourself like a yachid, you could do that. So he says here, Tani idach, we learn another braisa, Lo kol osel atzmo yachid oseh, Tamid oseh the Rabbi Shemil Lazar. Rabbi Shemil Lazar says the same thing. Not everybody can assume a position that he's not, you know, up to. And even to be a Talmid Chacham is also position dressed in a certain way. If it's something like, you know, like you get like kavod from, then you're right, you shouldn't do that. But with Varshal Tsar, if what you're doing is something like that causes you distress, Oseb is a chulato. You want to undertake a tsar, then, you know, fine, that's fine. All right, let's pause for a second. Anybody have questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Okay, moving on. Okay, so we're on 20 lines down on Yud Amud Beis. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Misha Mitana al Hatzara, Yavra. Let's say a person was praying, like there was some terrible, you know, I don't know, he's praying for rain, and then in the middle of his fast, it starts raining. Or, you know, he's praying for something else. You know, there's no food, and the food arrives in the middle of fast. Or he was praying for a sick person, and then the person had refua in the middle of fast. Or, Rachman Hassan, the sick person died. So he still has to complete his fast. He says, if a person goes from a place where they don't fast to a place where they do fast, he should fast together with the people. He goes from a place where they were fasting to a place where they don't fast. He still has to finish the fast. Does that remind you of any halakha we had in Pesachim? Remember in Makom Shinagu? Remember the Gemara says if he's going from a place where they did malacha on their Pesach to a place where they don't do malacha, so you shouldn't do something that's going to break up the shalom. All right, now, let's say he forgot and he ate and drank. He shouldn't like appear in a way in front of the tzibur if it's apparent that he's eaten and drunk. And then if he accidentally ate or drank something, doesn't mean like, oh, he had a morsel of food. That's it. I ate. Now I can eat, you know, a 5-course meal. It's a fast day. So you had to stop. You know, you didn't realize. I understand. But now don't eat. He says, Shinemar. Yaakov says to his sons, it's coming up in the Parsha Shavua, not this week, but next week. In other words, this week is Vayeshev, so it's in Parsha Mikates. So Amar Lam Yaakov Levanav, Yaakov said to his sons, Al Taruas Bechem Shem Tzveim. In other words, that the Bnei Yaakov really had food. It was a famine, but they had food. He says, but I don't want you to appear, you know, like that you have food. In other words, I don't want, like, you should go around, like, I want you to, in other words, I want you to go to Egypt and get food from there. So Esav and Yisrael shouldn't have food. They should kind of be them. They shouldn't be jealous of you. So I was asking Rabbi Packer about this. He said, like, if they would go and make the trip, so then, like, it's clear that through their effort they have it. So the people wouldn't be jealous of them because they could go down to Egypt and get it as well. He says, now, he mentions, though, then jumping ahead in the narrative, Yosef says to the brothers when he bumps into them in Egypt, he says, "Al trik zubadarat, don't become agitated on the way home." So Amr Blazar, Amar lem Yosef lechav, al tatas kubit dvar halacha, don't like engrossed in the dvar halacha, shematir gizu lechem adarat, because the pathway will get agitated for you, like you won't know what you're doing. That's what it sounds like. When he sends them back, right. So right. Well, he says, right. The final denouement, right. So that's really in Parshas Vayigash, right? In Parshas Vayigash, he says, "I'll take it with that." Not me, case, right? It's in Parshas Vayigash. So he says, and Rashi says, "You know, you're going to be so focused, you'll become for bludgeon." It was like, wait, we had a discussion with the Reb Chaim. I forgot my exit on the expressway. You know, I got lost. So he says, "Ini, is this true?" He says, this statement says, if two Talmid Chachamim who are traveling and aren't discussing Dibrei Torah, the Ruhi, they should be burned. They were walking, they're walking and speaking, a fiery chariot and fiery horses, by a few to bein shneim, and divided between Eliyahu and Elisha, and then they take Eliyahu up in the Shemaim. It says, Tamad Ikadibor. So the Gemara takes it, the reason that they weren't incinerated is they were discussing the Dibrei Torah. Halekadibor, Ruin Lisarei, but if they weren't discussing the Ruin to be burned. So here we have one statement that you should discuss Divrei Torah, and one statement that you shouldn't discuss Divrei Torah. So which way does it cut? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, halamigras halayune. So what you should discuss, the migras, if you're reviewing your limud, you know, going over lightly, that's good to discuss. Halayune, but delve deeply in one's learning when one's traveling, that's not good. About Nitatana, in a brayos that we learned, that what Yosef actually said, any questions, comments to us, anything that so far? Well, in other words, it means like this. So let's say there's a tanit sibur, and let's say it's a sara b'teve, and the person's fasting, but then he forgot and he ate a banana. So then, does that mean now he's got a green light to eat whatever he wants because he ate? No, he should stop eating. He, like the post can bring down. If a person ate garlic, which is like stinky, it stinks up the breath. Should he have more garlic? In other words, you made a mistake. Don't compound it by eating more. So if you're not fasting, well, it depends what reason, but you should try to subsist. You should have absolutely the minimum you can. Right. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Manita Tana Bryce, we learned that what Yosef said to them, Al Tirgu Zubadarech, was something else, not don't get engrossed in learning, but al tafsiu psi gasa, don't take long strides, v'hachnisu chama le'ir, and you should enter the city while it's still daylight at the end of the day. Al tafsiu psi gasa, don't take like long strides, the amar mar, psi gasa natal chani chamish miyot memori nabshal adam. There's a statement that psi gasa takes 1/500th of a person's vision away from him. You know, I remember Rabbi Marvin Tokay, as if one of the he passed away, right? Rabbi Tokay, Shaya, he passed away, did he not? Did he or not? Oh, okay. So then if he's something, he should have a long life. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Tokay, he said once that like when a person like goes quickly, like you don't see things so clearly. I think he's the one who said it. I'm walking quickly, I don't see everything so clearly, you know what I mean? Because I'm going so quickly. That's what he meant, that, you know, So he says, so that's the part that's dangerous. So if I'm traveling, I'm taking like a fast gait, so it's likely, you know, I may injure myself when I'm walking up Pesikia Gasa. He says, and you should enter the city where you're going to lodge for the evening before nightfall. He's Rav Yudah Marav, like Rav Yudah says the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Yudah Marav, person should leave with the Kitov and enter with the Kitov. It means this is Vayar Lakim and at work Kitov. God saw the light was Tov. So when I leave the city in the morning, it should be light. When I come back, it should be light. He says, Shinemar. That begins by Yosef with his brothers, like the day dawned, and then the people were sent out. We had that pasuk at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, you may recall. The Gemara had a ukim to that, was mean or the arba asar. So the Gemara quoted this pasuk, even though the Gemara is saying or there was like the night. So let's take a look at Rashi, six lines above where it gets wide. Yikanes b'chitov, v'erbo t'shacham z'rachat. You should enter the city when it's still daylight. She enlists him as Suyin because the bandits aren't out. It was safer to enter the city when it's daylight than you get your lodging. Inami, shall you pull the border with time for the year? He says that a person shouldn't fall into the pits and the clefts in the city. And it sounds like it's connected. I was talking to Rabbi Packer about this today, that the people in the city shouldn't accuse you falsely of being a spy or a ganav, like, I don't know, you're in this pit or whatever, things like that. So you enter when it's daylight and you're good and you go to your lodging place. Now, let's take a look. Four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yudah Rabbi Chiya, Hamahalich Baderech, if a person's traveling on the Derech, Ha'yochal Yoter Mishnei Ravon, he should have very little food when he's in transit. He shouldn't have more than Shnei Ravon. And if you look at Rashi, the third medium wide line, the Gemara says if there's a famine around, so even if I have food, I shouldn't like overindulge on the food. He says so when a person's traveling, he should have like the minimum amount of food. He says my taima, two lines from the bottom, haka tarkinu. Here in Babel explained mishamayana. So here in Babel explained because of intestinal problems, like you'll eat the food. And somehow you're traveling and it's not going to, you know, you got to keep it light on the stomach, I guess, because you're busy moving and things like that. He says, but in Eretz Yisrael they said, the reason is because of mizonot that you want to like parcel out your food, ration out your food. You know, you have a limit on food, right? You might actually have enough food to make you to get where you need to go. So the Gemara says, my benayu, what's the nafkamina? Either way, I'm supposed to have like little food. So my benayu. So ika benayu, the top line on the Alpha Medala. Ika benayu, yati ba'ar. But one nafkamina, let's say he's in a boat. So if he's in a boat, he has to worry about rationing out his food. But mishumayana lakka. In other words, the word takes it like, you know, I'm on the move all the time, so I'm going to have intestinal problems. But if I'm sitting in a boat, the word assumes that, you know, that I won't have intestinal problems. I assume, like, the boat, you know, it doesn't mean like an ocean liner like we have today. It means like they would have, or I don't know. Anyway, so the, what? Would it would not be? Would not be. Okay, so if that's the way, then that's the way it would be. He says, you know, an Arba I kind of think of as like a boat, not for a long distance, like down a river is the way I imagine it, like an Arba, because usually it's a Sfina otherwise. Anyway, but I don't know, maybe not. Okay, the actual Arba. Okay, Inami, the Ka'azi, Omi Avna La'Avna. Or, in the alternative, let's say he goes from one lodging place to another lodging place, but it's where the merchants go, and there's a lot of food in these lodging places. So there, he doesn't have to worry about the food, but he still has to worry because of his traveling for the intestinal problems. Rapapa kol parsu parsa achil chadarifta. Rapapa, when he was traveling, every parsa he would eat another loaf of bread. Savar mishumayana. He thought that the reason that they were admonished not to eat is intestinal problems. And then Rashi explains, let's take a look at the Rashi. The third wide line in Rashi, Kol parsu parsa achal rifta, sabar papa, the murabanan, lechot fei mishumayana, the iu lo mistafi mayana. He wasn't afraid for intestinal problems. Val beten hava, he had like a large stomach. Inin acher kresu rechava, kidiita babab matzia, kachashi beredra papa, the ukish burzol pichach, yechola choharbe, veno maziklo. Somehow, he wasn't afraid of having intestinal problems. He was so heavy, somehow that would not impact him. All right. Now, all right, let me just do a little piece from the sheets and then we'll be in. All right. One minute. Let's see.
All right.
Okay, one second. All right, now he talked about the coming through Shlaim Bezman as all right, I'll do a story, and that'll be it. Okay, on today's daf we find that Yosef told his brothers not to learn a lach on the road to their father. Rashi explains their intense concentration on clarifying law is very likely to cause them to err on the way home. Someone who's deeply absorbed in learning might fail to notice any number of landmarks along the way. But Yaakov Rosenwasser was once privileged to travel the Imre Emes Zal by train. So the Imre Emes, I think, is the son of the Sfas Emes. So Sfas Emes is around 1900. The Imre Emes would be, I guess, around 1920 or so. At that time, the Imre Emes was still a relatively unknown young man. Since Rabbi Yaakov had heard that he was the son of the illustrious Sfas Emes, he decided to observe him closely during the course of a lengthy journey. I noticed that he learned the whole time. At one point, we had an unpleasant surprise. The train was derailed. No one was hurt, and we waited outside for the technicians to come with the proper equipment to get the train back on track. Everyone was conversing or relaxing. Some were sauntering around, and others were enjoying the pleasant scenery. I was still observing the young prodigy. I noticed that although he got off the train like the rest of the passengers, he immediately made his way to a nearby train, continued learning as if nothing had happened. Fixing the problem on the rails and getting the train back on track took several hours, but the Imre Emes kept learning the same fire devotion all the while.
even when they brought a crane to place the train back on the rails, and everyone else stood there watching in curious amazement, he did not even look up from his mora once. When the repair was finally done, one of the young men accompanying the Rebbe walked over to him and tugged on his sleeve. The Rebbe followed the young man back out to the train. Rebbe Yochanan concluded, "It was then that I calculated the Rebbe had been standing there learning with intense concentration for 6 straight hours, and he looked as fresh as before he started." Okay, I think it's going to be... Okay, now, again... Okay, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe, quickly?
Two things. The Imre Yemes, my mother-in-law was by the Imre Yemes as a small child with a father who was close to the Imre Yemes, and while he was talking to her father, he was writing two chuvas. He was ambidextrous. So he was
Yosef, can you stick around until you get a minute? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Two chuvas at the same time he was talking to him. He was writing two chuvas. Because he wrote with both hands.
Right.
And also, you mentioned today the Pasuk, Nahayach Meyedim Lashkas Shagan, Umashom Yipare Vahoyalah Barashim. That Pasuk was used by the Rebbe of Zisha. When the Rebbe of Meilach was Nift, they asked him to take over Chassidus. And he said, he says, the Torah Tzinitzchias, it speaks to you. It's alive. It speaks to you. And he says in the High Yotzim Eidin, Lahashkosh is a gun. He says in the High Yotzim, the Eidin was the Baal Shem Tov, and the Nahar was the Medrash Magid. Lahashkosh is a gun was my brother, the Rebbe Meilach. He says, of Misham Yipari, there's going to be four leaders now.
Yeah. Who's the one who said that? Who's made that statement?
Rebbe Zisha.
Okay. Listen, I got to end it now. Thank you so much. One second. And again, learning with Luna Shama of Marvin Resnowitz's mother. And let me get her Hebrew name out one quickly.
Chaya Bat Avram Aryeh.
What is it? Chaya Bat what? Chaya Bat
Avram Aryeh.
Avram Aryeh, the Koran of Bracha. Okay, let me end the recording. One second.